Are we done signing?
Oh, let's see here.
Okay, good morning. This is Julie Fedorchak with the Public Service Commission. We are gathered on the 12th floor of the Capitol for the admin portion of our regularly scheduled commission meeting, January 20th, 2016. Call this meeting to order. Okay, we have one item on consent, and I move passage of that item.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion is approved.
Okay. Discussion matters. Number one is credit card payment acceptance. Josh, thank you for pulling some stuff together. I think we all have a little
I put something real quick.
Walk us through it?
Quick and simple together. Kind of give a picture of what we would need. And the estimated costs of accepting credit card payments. So after we've switched in weights and measures from the from large scale to being just quality assurance, our revenues have decreased quite a bit since the last time I've brought this to you. As I look at it, if we were to take credit cards beginning right now or even retroactive back to January 1, with equipment costs, our total cost for the rest of the biennium would be around $5,500. And that's the two numbers at the bottom for year one and year two. So this has really become a much more affordable picture than in years past when we had significantly more revenues.
Can you just walk through these, like estimated cost machine, $800? Is that what is that?
We would need a physical machine to swipe credit cards or to punch numbers into.
Okay.
So we would have to buy equipment. There are other options where it could be online, and those are things where it could be something through a PayPal type. Website where maybe inspectors in the field could do that through tablets or some other kind of devices.
So that would be $2,400 because we need each one to have the little, those things are $800, those little swipers?
Well, it'd be an actual machine.
Oh.
And those have cellular capability. They don't run through, we cannot do like, I think you're talking about the cube thing.
Yeah.
Those are not authorized through the Bank of North Dakota. Oh. They are not. They don't meet safety protocols.
Okay.
And
so we should
they
be
are,
using those?
You should not be using those.
When we go to the little...
Street fairs.
Yeah.
I wouldn't recommend it. The Bank of North Dakota does not recognize those as a secure method of credit card payment.
Boy, a lot of restaurants and stuff even use them now. Smaller ones, coffee shops. And
even retail shops, you'll see.
Yeah.
They'll swipe it right there. Well, that's through a Wi-Fi signal. And a Wi-Fi signal a lot of times can be intercepted. And so you're much better... swiping at a terminal.
Okay. That's a little bit of a sidetrack, sorry.
Yes, that's more on the security side. What we look at is a cost per transaction. Transactions, now $4,800, the actual transactions could be considerably less than this, but we do test about 4,800 devices, and so my analysis here looks at each one of those individually. But if we do 10, 12 devices at a location, we could essentially be swiping once for 12 of those.
Okay.
So our costs could be even less than this. Estimated annual revenue of $52,800. If we're looking at 4 cents per transaction, you know, we're looking at a cost of about a couple $1,000s a year, assuming that everybody paid by credit card. And that's probably not likely either. And so I think to get this started, it'd be considerably less than the estimated $5,500. That cost right there, I look at is offsets. And without Shelley being here to really talk through a lot of our collection efforts and what goes into those, to me the time savings is in the collection of past due, especially for $11. We put in a lot of effort to try to recover that money.
Mm-hmm.
I know we send letters.
Well, is there billing too? Do we bill them?
We'll send them an invoice.
We have to bill them again?
Yes.
They pay on the spot?
We'll call them. If it gets really bad, we'll send an inspector by if we're in the area. So we sometimes invest hours to try to collect a very small amount. The other side of it is the internal check handling process here within the commission. If we can reduce the number of checks that John has to log, that Amy receipts, Krista deposits, you know, there's time savings there as well. Mm-hmm. And so we're looking at probably a couple $100 a month expense to accept credit cards. I think we'll save way more than that on collection efforts and check handling alone.
Sure. Is this something that we could implement right away, or do we need to do this legislatively?
Legislatively, Bank of North Dakota in statute is the authorized agency to set up our credit cards. And so every agency has access to use those.
Okay. I don't have any more questions. I think it makes sense.
Well, I think I disagree with... let me first ask a question. So an $11 transaction, isn't 3 to 4% more like 40 cents instead of 4 cents?
That's the percentage for the calculation.
Percentage of what, though? What did you calculate that against, the 0.04?
So 4,800 transactions times $11 is the 52,800, and then I just took 4%.
Of that.
Oh, the 1,056 is 4% of 52,800. Okay. And then, so, but around 40 cents is what each test is going to cost us, each $11 test. And then I continue to think that, especially as we're very likely going to be reducing our budget by 2.5%, and now I'm hearing talk of some work in the legislature to alter from that and push that up higher, I don't know that I'm ready to absorb $5,500 here out of this biennium. I think we should wait with this, as Josh talked about last time, and submit a bill where, I don't know how you phrased that, but where our submission to this to the general fund would be the net after
this could be done through the budget process.
Yeah, I liked that. I forgot about that. I thought there was some legislative component that we needed.
So that we don't absorb it, that the general
fund. Because once we give that up, we'll never get it back.
Right.
So this could be something during the budget process here in the next few months we can talk about. I just wanted to start kind of getting thoughts. And
I think we should.
It's not that expensive.
I think ultimately it should be done, but I just don't think it should be, especially this biennium, ours to absorb. So I think we should wait.
Yeah, I agree with you, Randy. I think that's a good catch.
Well, maybe get some more information about the machines and the protocol and start doing some kind of a SOP of how you do it, because then the auditors are going to come in and say, what's your protocol for collecting these? So we could be doing that kind of stuff now.
Well, this is going to be much broader. We're going to have application changes. We'll have to have our systems modified to be able to track all of these.
Doing that, because I think it's the right thing, but I agree with you to wait to do it. But so we don't get the authorization and then have to do all the other stuff. Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Josh. We'll just have you remember to include that in the budget stuff when we get to that point. Okay. Thank you very much. That's helpful.
As well as I think we should, put that on our list of if we need to draft a bill to do that.
Yeah.
Might as well get that started.
Okay. Petition for reconsideration, FERC docket ER 16-209. Boy. Integration of CPEC facilities into SPP, PU 15-740.
Okay, and for that, I just wanted to to put this on your radar. And we did get a decision from FERC. If you recall, we filed a motion to intervene, and then we filed comments out of time supporting Otter Tail's position in this docket for Central Power to integrate its facilities into SPP. This has been a big, long issue with Otter Tail, and they have facilities that interconnect and intertwine with Central. They had planned things to where they might own the substation and Central owns the transmission line, or they might both own parts of a transmission, and this is lower voltage transmission.
So that's a key thing, though. They don't get the same facility credits that MDU did because they're 41-6 lines, and so it's not as clean as MDU's settlement was.
Yeah, the low-voltage stuff isn't eligible for those facility credits. And when FERC issued its order, it basically didn't address issues that we brought up in our comments and petition or notice of intervention. We talked about some of their facilities not being well defined as to what is going into the SPP rate base and things like that. And FERC ended up setting this for a settlement, and they didn't say that the states were a party in the settlement either. And so as a result, we're working on a petition for reconsideration or rehearing on FERC's decision. And I've asked Minnesota and South Dakota if they're interested in making it a joint petition. And I'm waiting to hear back on that. But I think South
Dakota... They supported the first filing. We were all three filed together.
Yes.
And so I don't think they're going to... I think they'll come with us.
I think it'll go that way. I just haven't heard back from them yet. So our thought is that... The 29th is the filing deadline for petitions to reconsider. And we thought we would just file it with council signature here and then have a motion acknowledging the thing on the next agenda. So it would be in between there. And so I just wanted to bring everybody up to speed on
this. Everybody's
okay
with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. and let you know the plan and hope everybody's okay with it.
And if we're not, we'd have to schedule a work session and get some more details. And
no, I'm fine with it.
Can Jerry, you know, we talk about this a lot from Otter Tail's perspective. Can you tell me what North Central's argument would be?
It basically
comes... To be honest with that, when I talked to the RECs the other day about the Clean Power Plan and took questions... This question came up, and I said, you know, I think this is really still before us. I just can't really talk about it here.
Yeah.
In a non-public setting. And so that was the end of it. But what's really their position?
It's basically Otter Tail having to pay SPP charges that they didn't have to pay before.
Otter Tail did not have to pay them
Based
on their own agreements.
Yeah, and... It's clouded a little bit because there was a common use agreement between Central and Otter Tail that governed all of this stuff that is expiring. But under that agreement, there was a small payment, I understand, from Central to Otter Tail. And now this is getting switched around to where Otter Tail is going to have to pay a million or two fees to... SPP for the network integration service. And the idea being that Otter Tail should be harmless on Central's decision to join SPP.
I'd just throw in here is that I had the same question you did and kind of thought through it. And when SPP or when Otter Tail joined MISO, there was some carve-outs that helped Central absorb some of that cost. And so right now it's kind of like the flip side to it. And so I don't go as far as Jerry where I think Otter Tail should be held harmless because I think they should have to pay a little bit of this. But right now I really would like the FERC to make a decision. We put a petition in front of them. They didn't talk about those issues. Make them make a decision on those issues in the 41-6 about whether that should or shouldn't be in SPP's stuff. I just want the FERC to make a decision on our pleading because they didn't do that. They just kind of just glossed over it. So I don't think it's so much about what Central's issue it is, but it's we ask them a question, answer our question.
And Central, you know, I think there's some up there that might feel like Otter Tail is attacking or something on them on this thing, and that the commission is lining up with Otter Tail on it.
Well, we can talk about this. This is not a case in front of us.
Yeah.
So I had a meeting with the day when we had the hearing in Stanley, and I had a meeting in Minot. I met with Central Power, and what Jerry said is absolutely correct. They said, well, we think that we've done enough. And I said, well, we're here to protect the investor owns, and I just want the FERC to make a decision. And so I really didn't weigh in that I thought one way or the other than I was inclined to support Otter Tail's position, but I just want the FERC to make a ruling.
Okay. I appreciate that clarification and or refresher, I guess.
Because this issue won't go away. It's going to get...
Brian and I went to D.C. on a couple of settlement conferences earlier, and this is tagging over from those things.
Because I think we'll see this bubbling up over and over and over again until FERC comes down and says, this is right, this is wrong. Because FERC even acknowledged that there is some pancaking of costs in this, which they typically don't do. So I just want them to make a decision.
Okay. Thanks.
So we'll circulate the petition, you know, before we sign it out and let you see what's going on with it.
But I think that would be the answer, Randy, if we get that question again, because that's how I told Tom. I said, we just want a decision out of this thing, and then we'll deal with it.
Okay. All right. Anything else on that? Is that it? Okay. Then 3, Nuclear Waste Strategy Coalition.
Hand out here if you need it.
Oh, do you have the cost? I guess that's what I'm missing.
$1,000 per year.
And what did you guys decide on this during your last discussion?
Well, if I remember correctly, we thought it was a good idea, and the budget stuff hadn't quite bubbled up yet then. And so that was kind of, I said I'd be happy to try to do it if it wasn't too much travel, but I would certainly acquiesce to either one of you if you wanted to do it.
I've had more thoughts on this.
Sure.
Since we talked last time, and I mean, I don't have a real strong feeling about us participating or not participating. But I will say this, and energy in the big picture, and I'm going to acknowledge that I'm pretty caught up in the Clean Power Plan, and someone assigns a concern to a type of energy, and in that case it's CO2 and coal, and it's like almost nothing else matters, you know, that has to be addressed. Over the years, as I've been involved kind of at the fringes of discussions over what these companies are supposed to do with their nuclear power plants and the waste, you know, it's been going on for decades. And we all, or I don't know, I think most of us agree it's a good source of power insofar as cost efficiency and reliability is, I would say, better than good, wonderful source of power, except there's this issue. What do you do with the waste? And I don't want to be in the group that is always saying, yes, we have to do something, but not in my backyard. And I would guess, as North Dakotans, our people would be very opposed to us becoming the nuclear waste site of the nation. And I mean, I had some tours and at one point, 15 years ago, probably quite a bit of knowledge about Yucca Mountain. And I was really sold on it. That seemed like the logical place. But the state of Nevada says no. And it seems like no matter where we look, those people say no. In North Dakota, we're having a hard time even dealing with our filter socks, which have radioactivity in many cases less than a brand new granite countertop. And a lot of our people are saying, no, we don't want that waste facility here. And so if we're going to be involved with this, I just don't want us to be in the crowd saying, yep, we have to solve that problem, but never proposing a solution. And I don't know where this ends, because I do want nuclear power plants around the country to be successful, but I'm, of course, I'm primarily focused on the ones in Minnesota that our residents, some of them, are getting power from it. And so I do want a solution, but I don't know what it is. So I wouldn't know how to go to a meeting and say, yes, we should all stomp on Nevada's rights and force them to take it, or stomp on any other state's rights, if I would be screaming if the federal government came in and said it has to come here. Mm-hmm. So I just think we need to think that through.
Well, you raised some good points, Randy, and I think that a group like this is a place where you talk through all that kind of stuff and look at I don't know enough about the whole waste issue to know, you know, how much has been done to inventory all the different potential sites, just from a technical and geographical, you know, standpoint. I'm sure that there's a lot of specific parameters of what makes a good site and what doesn't and what goes into that. But right now, we're not engaged in that, and our citizens are benefiting from nuclear power. So I feel like we should be at least be at the table where they're discussing solutions to that issue. And right currently we aren't.
As long as we go with open eyes, that it will very likely be pointed out to us that we won't even accept our own filter socks.
Well,
and we're working toward it, and I think we'll be soon.
Yeah.
But North Dakota has taken a very hard line stand when it comes to radioactive materials.
Yeah. Well, and sometimes I think you need, not sometimes, always, you need leaders who are informed, who can help dispel, you know, and make the difference between fact and fiction and truth and mistruths that are, you know, the center of all of this churning and spinning of policymaking. And I think that would be another benefit to being engaged in this, is you'd have access to a lot of the people who can get at the facts.
It is the ultimate dilemma with, besides the good things that I've pointed out about nuclear power, we're probably never going to find a state that wants this stuff. And welcomes it with open arms, and I really am reluctant to force a state to do it, and thus it further enhances why I'm such a proponent of coal, where we don't have this kind of a problem.
You know, I ask the question sometimes of people, I think, when did we get to the point where nuclear waste is more desirable than CO2? I mean, that is just crazy. And I don't know if you are real familiar with nuclear waste, but this stuff, some of it has a half-life of 10,000 years, which means 10,000 years from now, half of it's gone. And it'll take another 10,000 years for that half of the next half to be gone. And it'll go on like that. And so in 100,000 years, you're still going to have radioactive stuff coming out of this site. If you look at Nevada, at Yucca Mountain. See, I worked there before, and I've been on that mountain and a couple of times looking at it. And you know, there's a little volcanic cone down at the base of that mountain that's red, it's heated, it's live. And you know, there's an earthquake fault line that goes through that mountain. They'll point it out to you when you do the tour. And there's groundwater underneath that thing too. And that groundwater travels around underneath the desert there to different places, and so you can see after many years how that, if something goes wrong in there, how it was seeped down into the groundwater. And if you look like in Colorado and places where they've stored this stuff in drums and stuff like that that was supposed to be airtight, and they've had leaks and problems with it, and the idea that they can close this stuff up for 100,000 years and keep it safe is just ridiculous. I mean,
well, again, those are all valid issues, but the fact remains we have customers that are, you know, and so we're contributing to the nuclear waste and are totally absent from the table where solutions are being discussed for what to do with it.
And if you do get a site, you have to ship it there.
Right. Yeah, there's a lot of issues.
That's dangerous, too.
Yep. Okay, so $1,000 a year is what it is?
It is, but it's, you know, two trips a year minimum, so you probably figure this is more of a budget impact of probably about $3,000 a year every time you go to D.C. Mm-hmm. and stay at those hotels are so flippin' expensive. So for biennium, it probably would be a $7,500. I mean, that's a high number. $6,000 in a biennium, maybe.
And does it, do they cover any of the costs?
My knowledge,
no.
No.
Do they coordinate with NARUC? Are they at the same time, those meetings?
Once again, I don't know.
Yeah.
I got the same letter that you got, or maybe a copy of it. You know, what we could do is, you know, I could circle around through inside of Mark, and we could talk. Like, I don't know if Minnesota's at the table.
Yeah.
Or if South Dakota's at the table. Or Iowa, and so it seems to me that, you know, here's what I do know. I think what happened is David Boyd is a former Minnesota commissioner, and David Boyd was the expert in MARC for nuclear issues. He's a nuclear guy. And so when right. David Boyd left the Minnesota Commission, there's no longer a Midwest representative on the commission. And so when the Minnesota Commission looked at their people, they didn't really have anybody with the longevity or the background. So I think that's probably why we got this letter.
Mm. Well, it looks like someplace we have a list of a membership roster. We could, because I've got that listed as something that was sent to me. So I wonder if I have it or if I forwarded it to Jerry and I can dig that out. But we can maybe, what I'm hearing you say is talk about it at MARC and get some more information. We can decide after we get back.
Yeah, at the February meeting. And then,
okay.
You know, what about the budget impacts, though? Right now we're just talking about the holding off on the credit cards. That's something, too.
Well, and we can also ask this group, because I'm sure they're out at NARUC, about that and get more information. So, Daryl, will you add this to the agenda for the late February meeting, whatever that might be, for discussion?
Who's our staff lead in any nuclear stuff? We've never really had that, have we?
I've done it before. But...
Okay. Well, Jerry, will you think on this a little bit? I know you gave us your thoughts on that, but I look at it, I agree. I don't say I agree. I respect what you just said, but I also know that no matter what we do, if we never do any more nuclear power plants, we still have a lot of this stuff.
We need a solution.
Yeah, right. So we've got to work the solution even if we never site another one. And I don't know what's best, if you keep it on-site storage forever and ever, because when I was in Camp Pendleton, we worked the storage issues and the movement issues of the nuclear stuff at San Onofre. And we moved some of the spent rods from San Onofre through the Marine base to a ship, hauled them around the country to another storage site. So I've dealt with this a little bit.
Okay.
But the transportation issues, like you said, are another kettle of fish, too.
Yep.
But I think that, we had $10 million that's come back to North Dakota ratepayers in the last 12 years. So it's mm-hmm. a huge amount of money.
Yeah.
Jerry, we'll get the information. Maybe you can think through the benefits of being involved and what we would gain and what we,
There's probably a staff tail to this because the commissioner's not going to do it alone, one of us.
And so, we'll discuss it again in February.
Yeah.
Do you have a desire to do this, Julie?
I'm kind of interested in it, but we'll see. Okay. That'll be tabled till the second February meeting, whatever that date is, after NARUC. Okay, so that concludes discussion matters.
Can I add one thing, Madam Chair?
Sure.
This is more of just an FYI. We have an informal today at 1:30,
mm-hmm.
and I have to be traveling at 1:30 today. I overbooked myself as part of a mentoring thing with students at NDSU. There's a bunch of us that are meeting with a bunch of students today at 4 o'clock.
Okay.
And so if it's okay, I'll just call in.
Okay.
And I've talked with Jerry about the project this afternoon. I'll have a couple questions, but basically it shouldn't be too bad of an informal.
All right. That sounds fine.
So, Esther, can you make sure somebody calls me? Daryl?
I'll do that, Brian. I'll be glad to call you.
Okay.
Do you expect that to be a long meeting?
I don't think so. They'll talk a little bit about some of their projects and half hour or so, maybe. I've been wrong before, though.
Okay.
The one for today doesn't really address the elephant in the room about the future SPP costs and some other stuff. Today's, when I read through it, procedural, maybe.
All righty. Moving on to scheduling. Jim, we'll do yours first, the meeting with the Assistant Secretary of Interior for Lands.
Well, let's see if I can keep this on every agenda here. The way
yeah.
The way this keeps changing, indicated the email now looking at late April, early May for this meeting. And in fact, they were asking for some options of different dates. And I guess looking, it's okay with you that sometime the week of April 25th, if there's a date that week, then let's look at the next 2 weeks as well to give them some options to consider.
Are they going to meet with the three of us, or they want to meet individually again?
They're back to they will meet in an open public meeting rather than the individual things.
Well, the week of the 25th, I'm an SPP the Monday, Tuesday, but then I have nothing 27th through 29th.
27th looks good.
27th works for me.
Okay.
If that is one option, then go the following week, week of May 2nd. Is any dates there?
We have a meeting on Wednesday.
I got on the 4th. MISO stuff on the 5th, but I'm open 2, 3, 5, 2, 3, 6.
It would seem like sometimes if we have multiple options here, sometimes, you know, maybe make the 3rd the last option because that's when we're usually prepping for meetings. But
And I'm guessing this would probably not more than a 2-hour meeting. So
the 2nd and 3rd I'm open.
It's fine by me.
Okay, maybe go with May 3rd rather than the 2nd.
Then they'd have to come in on a Sunday, yeah. I'm all right with that.
Yeah, me too.
But to Randy's point, do it in the morning if they're willing.
Yeah.
So we're going to hold those 2 dates then, Jim?
Yeah, then let's look at the week of May 9th, or the week of May 9th, too, if there's a day there.
Which day in the first week did we settle on?
The 27th.
Okay.
I'm open that week. When is the Petroleum Council thing?
That's the last part, I think. Yeah, I got 24th of May,
okay.
Petroleum Council. I got a one call meeting on the 12th. That's it that week.
I have a meeting on the afternoon of the 9th. That's it.
We'll look at the Tuesday, the 10th.
Sure.
Sure. That works for me.
So it looks like 10, 11, or 12, huh?
12th is bad for me. The
12th is, okay, so 10 or 11?
Mm-hmm. Either of those work.
Don't forget Mother's Day is May 8th, just to make sure you have calendar.
Exactly.
Well, I'll pour those on then.
Okay.
Do you want a side bet that they don't come, Jim?
Apparently a message from Senator Olden's office.
Good. Okay, so moving on to the next issue, we'll do the Petroleum Council since we're looking at May. Daryl, have you gotten some dates from them?
The only date they gave me is May 6th, and that was what was discussed at the meeting.
Was there somebody who had a conflict with that? May 6th?
I don't.
Mm-mm. I'm all right with that. Okay.
That was easy.
Usually it's like 11:30 to 2. Okay.
You know, while we're looking that far out to May, do you guys have a problem if we? That's going to screw things up. That May 4th, I got a conflict that popped up that around our commission meeting. I don't know if it's possible to move the commission meeting like to the 5th or something.
I'm all right with it, the 3rd or the 5th.
Well, the 3rd we have that. Now we have the... Could we move to the 5th?
It's okay with me.
Mm-hmm. It's fine with me.
Can you do that?
Okay. May 5th.
For the meeting and the informal. Thank you, guys.
Okay. All right, let's do the work session for NSP negotiated agreement. Well, no, let's do the Bakken and One Oak pipeline hearing, number one. Do we have dates? Potential dates?
Well, unfortunately, it seems like our ALJ has some conflicts.
We're going to go back to that discussion right away. The ALJ does not determine our schedule. We've had this discussion numerous times with Delana. We've got ALJs. We've got other contract people. I hear you're saying, Sarah, you're taking the brunt here.
But what are the dates that they're proposing?
Okay. He's available on February 22nd, and then he is not available again until March 22nd. And then he's pretty free thereafter.
When do we have it scheduled now?
We don't.
We haven't.
Oh, okay.
That's what we're trying to
do
right now.
Is February 22nd enough time for notice?
It's close, but if we get it out today, I mean, it's 30 days.
By the time it gets into the mail, you know, you have to get it into the papers. Did you count that all out?
Well, it's 30.
Well,
it can't be.
It's a 20-day notice.
Yeah.
But it has to be from publication time. And so where is it going to be published?
Kildare. Well, Kildare would be where we would have the hearing.
So
There's no way.
I'm sure that's a weekly, so it would it could get published. I'm just guessing.
It's a 20-day notice?
Mm-hmm.
I would think that they would get it published next week.
Okay.
If we got them.
I'm fine with the 22nd. If we can keep it, does that work for you guys or not? No?
Yeah, I can make it work. I just, ALJ discussion, they don't dictate our schedule. I know that's not you, so we're going to have that. I'm going to go see him again because this is, you guys heard my rants before. We've got a new ALJ. They don't determine our schedule.
So if you're having a hearing February 22nd, you should be issuing a notice today?
Correct.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
And in Kildare.
Yep.
Okay.
You're right with that, Brandy?
Yes.
Okay, so started at, that's, I think that's...
Mountain
time. So if we started at 9 Mountain, that's 10 hour time. Let's do that.
So it'd be 10 hour time, okay.
I don't think they have an airport. Are we remembering that? We've always driven to Kildare before.
Drive to Kildare.
It's 2 hour drive, I think.
Yeah, we do drive together.
It's a good 2 hour drive.
Is there a reason we couldn't start it?
We've flown to. There's an airport just north of Kildare. It's a small airport.
No, it saves. It saves.
I have scheduled an airplane there before, so.
Mm-hmm.
Except we had to parachute, so that was okay.
Okay, what now? What time did you want to start?
Well, just is there a reason we couldn't start at high noon? It's a Monday trying to get people together. I'm not against 9 o'clock, but you start at noon and we go till we're done.
I'd rather get back, personally, but...
That's fine.
I mean, but we could start at 10 or, sometime. Nah, let's do it and try to get done by noon or 1.
I was just saying if we're going to drive, I'd maybe push it back a little bit. If we're going to fly, I don't care.
Okay, you guys will work out those arrangements, but... Shoot for 9 o'clock Mountain Time.
9 o'clock Mountain Time, okay.
Okay, and then we have the work session with the NSP negotiated agreement. Jerry?
They filed exhibits and proposed orders and stuff. Just came in.
And so... I don't know.
Next week sometime? Or
can we go a little further away than that? I haven't looked at them yet.
Next week is shot. I'll be in SPP early in the week and then get us.
All right, so first week of February, we have the the morning of the night. The first is kind of, the second is shot for me. The third?
Yeah.
You can do the third, but
fourth,
I...
Fourth, we have a hearing.
Can't go into Saturday because it's Ronald Reagan's birthday.
I would be available on the third.
Yeah, I can make that work.
Morning?
Morning.
9, 10, what would you prefer?
Indifferent.
Let's say 10 on the third, February 3rd.
This is number 6, the NSP thing, right?
Yeah.
Refresh me again what that project is.
There was a negotiated agreement... that basically gets rid of some seabed stuff in Minnesota out of the North Dakota revenues.
Okay. Got it.
It's the restack.
Yeah.
The
restack. There we go.
Mm-hmm.
Did you set the time on the third?
10. 9. 10. Sorry.
What?
10. All right.
So this 10?
10 o'clock. Now we are to, I don't remember meeting on legislative changes and additions. Daryl, can you help me?
Yeah, we at the last meeting we had, you asked that I put this on the administrative matters schedule to look at.
Is this a follow-up to our last?
Follow-up to last meeting, yeah.
Okay, so this is a follow-up. So we talked through legislative stuff. Now we need to set a meeting maybe March? To go through it again.
Mm-hmm. Excellent.
I'm open to any ideas if you want to throw some out.
I'm I've got a fair amount of openings, but if we struggle for a date, that last full week of February, I don't have a lot either. I don't know if that's enough time, but I'll just throw that out that I don't have a lot scheduled there. We have our meeting on Wednesday, but
if we can go into March, I'd rather.
Okay. Any suggestions?
Let's see. What about
the first half of March? I kind of have quite a bit of stuff. The second half of March, I have quite a bit less.
Tenth, 11th.
Those are fine. 10th is really good. Right after the commission meeting, so we'd all be around.
Do we have a formal?
Probably don't know yet.
The 9th is the commission meeting.
Do it then too, afterwards.
I have this egg rail business thing that's on the same day as that commission meeting, an informal hearing. The 10th?
Sounds good.
I didn't reply. I was just thinking, but the 9th, I don't know if we do have an informal or not. That works for me, as does the 10th. So either one.
Okay, let's say the 10th and 10 o'clock. And you'll invite all the directors, right, Jerry, and legal?
Yep.
Okay. And then last but not least, February directors meeting.
Can we just put those two back to back? I don't know if then it would stay at 10 o'clock for the legislative thing, but it would seem like we got a lot of the same people.
So the February's directors meeting in March? That's cool by me.
Trying to think of stuff we talk about at that director's meeting, the legislative. I don't know. In some respects, I'd rather just meet more often and shorter with the directors than try to make them so long.
Well, why don't we not get it too late in February so that we can ultimately do the March director's meeting on the 10th then?
All right. Brian? Oh, let's see. Nehruk is the middle.
I'll tell you, February is pretty bad. The 5th is open in the morning, and then we go to the 19th between Nehruk and hearings.
5th in the morning works for me.
Okay. Let's do it.
5th? 10 o'clock then, Commissioner?
Yeah.
We got a hearing the 4th somewhere. Well, that's here. That's good.
Yeah. Okay, that's it. Anything else from anyone?
Just a reminder that we're flying out of the Bismarck Aerial Center at 7:30 tomorrow.
Okay.
That's
the general aviation?
Yeah, the one we usually fly out of.
Okay, the state plane.
And we're going to be flying into the Fargo Jet Center, and there'll be, it's called All Occasions is the ground transportation. Bill or Judy will be driving.
Okay.
And I'm just going to stay there from tonight.
All right.
And we got an email for all three of us about it. Who's available to talk? I sent him a note back.
What was the issue?
They just want a precursor to the hearing tomorrow, Matt from Energy Matters. And I told him, I said, well, it's Julie's portfolio, but I'm guessing that time they'll be traveling because I'll be over there so I can do it at 7:30.
Well, it is right when we leave. And okay. I seen your note, and I was just ready to send one. That it's Julie's portfolio, and I would certainly be willing to, if the portfolio holder wants to make a phone call, to hold up our plane for 6 or 8 minutes until you can do a 5-minute phone call at 7:30.
That's true, too.
Whatever you want, Jules.
Yeah, I'll do that.
Okay.
Don't we have a request from Legislative Council, too, that you mentioned?
Oh, yeah.
That's, I'm not seeing it. Who did it come from?
Let's look. I read that yesterday, and I... Okay.
Yeah, it's Adam Mathiak.
Yeah, I don't know if you know what that's funny.
Yeah, Senator Rich Wardner is called to the meeting February 3rd at 8 a.m. in the Harvest Room. Our presentation, 10:10 to 10:30, overview of the pipeline siting process, including any issues relating to pipeline siting.
No, this is the follow-up from what we said at the meeting with those guys.
Yep.
Last week. So that's the third?
Yes. So
if I look at February 3rd?
Yep. And yeah, we just scheduled some 10:10 to 10:30 is what they're asking. Our time hack. What do we just schedule, Esther?
Negotiated agreement.
At that time, probably, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we have to change that because we got to go to
that. 11.
Let's change the NSP thing to 11.
Sure.
Okay. And I'm fine with doing that.
We were notice that meeting then.
Do you carry the flag for us, portfolio holder?
That's all those. They want to talk about the update on how the changes have gone on the siting, and we can talk about whether we want to talk about the wind too.
Yes,
and
me.
So all three of you are going to be there?
Sure.
Okay.
What's it called?
Interim Energy Committee meeting, right?
The Energy Development and Transmission Committee. Interim Energy Development and Transmission Committee.
Okay. That concludes our admin portion of the regularly scheduled commission meeting.